Now, God's requirements for revival will never fail, but they have to be met. And revival is our responsibility. There are actually three prayers for revival that we find in the Word of God. If you would turn with me, please, to Psalms 138. Psalm 138. And locate verse number 7. Now, David needed revival. He desperately needed revival because, you know, and yesterday we prayed the same prayer that David prayed in coming back to the Lord. And David needed to be forgiven. And in Psalm 138 and verse 7, David prayed, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me." David was asking for revival. Revive me. Revive me, Lord Jesus, revive me, I pray. Stir me to witness to the world today. Give me compassion for lost dying man. Revive me, Lord Jesus. Revive me, I pray. And then, I want you to look with me to the 85th Psalm. Psalm 85, verse 6. The 85th Psalm. Verse number 6. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Return, turn back, refresh, live prosperously. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? There's no true spiritual rejoicing until there's honest revival. One other scripture verse, and that's found in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse number 2. Habakkuk 3 and verse number 2. Now, sometimes that's hard to find, that little book of Habakkuk. So, it's very simple if you'll just go to the book of Matthew and back up. I think that's the reason it's named Habakkuk, to teach us to... Just a few pages, just back up, and you'll come to Habakkuk chapter 3. Chapter 3. Now, here is Habakkuk, and he's praying for revival. And revival came through his prayer. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years. Make known in wrath, remember mercy. So our prayer is, Lord, revive me, revive us, and revive thy work. I check upon myself and wonder how many times I mention, Lord, revive me in my prayer life. And you know, I'm ashamed of the very few times that I even pray that way. But it's scriptural. If we do something that's scriptural, we're going to expect God to bless what we've done according to the Bible. And some of us just neglect the important things. And that's the reason we do not receive the blessings of the Lord upon our lives. That's the reason we do not have answers to our prayers. And this will bring revive me, revive us. Now, what is revival? Revival is an individual that gives himself thoroughly and fully, completely, from inside out to the blessings of the Lord, to be praised of God, to be led of God, to speak the words, to have constant prayer and agonize for the Lord. Father Nash would go before Charles Finney. He and a friend of his would go, and they would try to find a place they could rent. He went to one place, and the only thing that she said that she could rent would be her basement, and it was damp down there. And they went down there and spent 2 weeks without eating. When Father Nash died, Charles Finney quit preaching. He would not preach a revival if Nash was not praying. And it didn't come from Finney's preaching, he said. It came from Nash's praying that the Spirit of God was upon. And this lady came to Mr. Finney and she said, "Those men are in the basement and they're moaning and they're I don't know what's going on down there, and I'm afraid they're not feeling well." He said, "Let me assure you, madam, that they know what they're doing and you don't have to worry about it." And when Nash died, Finney stopped preaching revival meetings. And everything comes through prayer. Revival. Revival is somebody that's been saved and now lives the way they lived the day they got saved shortly after. And soon it cools off. Have you noticed that? It's easy to get away from the fire while you're standing around the fire. It's nice and warm. You get away from the fire and it gets cold, especially in the wintertime. And I'm afraid in most of our hearts, it's very cold because we're not living the way God expects us to live as His children. And so the Bible teaches us that revival is the renewal of the first love of Christians, resulting in the awakening and conversion of sinners to God. The renewal of the first love. Have you ever had the same inner experience since the day you got saved? Do you remember? If you're saved, you remember that. I mean, it just seemed like you were walking on a cloud. And now the cloud seems to have kind of disappeared, faded away. We take our life for granted. We don't really do what God expects us to do by having daily prayer and daily conversation with Him and walking with the Lord in the light of His Word. He shows glory along the way when we do that. And that's the number one need of the Bible-believing churches today is revival. That's the number one need. And revival doesn't drop out of heaven on a whole congregation. It comes individually. It comes to those of us who will pay the price for revival. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. You say, "I can't do that." Well, you've driven down the road before and you haven't even watched where you're going, and you wake up and say, "Did I pass that?" Where? You're not paying any attention. You're doing something right and you're not even thinking about what you're doing. Now, that's sort of like praying without ceasing. "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." And when you let that mind in you, then we are good candidates for a spiritual awakening. If there's ever a time in the history of the world we need a spiritual awakening, and by the way, they're having one in the Philippines now. They're having a spiritual awakening in the Philippines now. And we need one more than the Philippines. And our nation surely could help, be helped with the spiritual awakening. And it's a shame to those of us who call ourselves the people of God and Christians if we're not doing what the Lord wants us to do in this time of real need for our country. So, the first thing, revival is the renewal of the first love. Now, secondly, when is it needed? When is revival needed? Number one, when we depart from our first love. When we leave our first love. Turn with me to Revelation 2. Revelation 2. And look at verses 2 and 4. The angel of the church received this message. The angel was the pastor of the church. And the word to that pastor is, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. The whole church knew about the patience, knew about the works, got a lot of works, a lot of labor and patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Now this is a pretty good church. You see, the angel of the church was the pastor, referred to as an angel here. And this church is the church at Ephesus. And so this is the message to that pastor of the church and the people of that church. And the church had good works. They labored well. They had a lot of patience. I heard about a doctor the other day that had to change jobs because he lost his patience. That's a terrible thing to do. And I know thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil and hast tried them which say they're apostles and are not and hast found them liars. This is a good church. People around that area of Ephesus said, we're prophets, we're apostles, we're people of God. And they brought them into the church and had a trial. And they proved they were a bunch of liars. They said one thing and practiced something else. And they found they were liars. Now this church has borne and has patience and for my name's sake, said the Lord, has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, they've got all the things, the doctrine, they're doing everything right. But nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Now, what does it take to come back to that first love? Number one, it takes remember, a memory, therefore from whence thou art fallen. Remember that. It takes a memory. Secondly, it takes repentance. And thirdly, it takes action. Repent, go back, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick from out of its place, except thou repent. So the Bible is teaching us how to come back to true fellowship and relationship with God. And it takes an act of repentance. They used to call it a mourner's bench. That meant that people came away from God and groaned and begged and pled for repentance and for the blessings of God. I think we've forgotten that art. We take things for granted, and more than things, we take God for granted sometimes. The Bible teaches us how to live. And in verse 7, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And I know thy works. He knows us. So, when you leave or forsake your first love, what is it? There's no personal time for prayer. Only time some people pray is when they come to church and get scared of the pastor that calls on them. Never crack the Bible open. Oh, carry it back and forth to church, but don't read it. You know, you don't have to read it. You just have to look spiritual. No prayer. No time for the Word. Never talk to anybody about the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, I've asked the Lord to let me pass out at least 5 tracts a day. And when you do that, you can open up conversations. We were in a Walmart today, and there was a guy there that had a Brooklyn baseball shirt on. And he had a Brooklyn hat on. And he had, who was it I told you? Number four, what was it? What? Duke Snyder. Duke Snyder. And boy, he was I reached in my pocket, and I pulled out a Mickey Mantle, and I said, you ever heard of this guy? Who hadn't heard of him? I said, you'll enjoy reading about that. I said, something really good happened to him. You know, this opens up an opportunity to witness to a total stranger. I'd never seen that man before, and he had never seen me before. To a total stranger. And man, he wanted to talk. And I said, something good happened to him. He said, is that right? I said, yeah. I said, he trusts the Lord. He's going to heaven. I said, are you going? Well, he said, I hope so. Well, you can imagine what I said after that. Well, you see, this is not for just a preacher to do this. Okay? This is for the child of God. This is for somebody that's born again. If I go out the door, and I do it once in a while, and I feel I don't have my tracks, I feel like I'm undressed. We were in, I have to tell the folks at school to get about this tomorrow. We were in Red Lobster up in Michigan. I don't know if it was, where was it, Pontiac or somewhere. Yeah. And we were standing around, there was about 12 of us standing around there waiting to eat. And these guys were just standing there waiting. I was standing there waiting. And I just pulled one of these out of my pocket and I said, anybody ever heard of this guy? Man, they focused on that thing like they zeroed in on it. And I said, would you like to have it? He said, yes, thank you. I said, that's a good story. That's a story very few people know. And they lined up. And I did have enough to give everybody one, and I'm glad I did. They all wanted the story. I'm in my 4,000 of giving these things out. I'm going to see people in heaven because they read this tract. You know, you can witness without saying a word about Jesus. Did you know that? Everybody here has the ability to carry a tract. You got to get the one that you feel the Lord wants you to use. And you could say, I've got a message here for you. And people will say, oh, thank you. Man, I've been thanked so many times. I say, you know, he was a rascal. He thought he was going to die before 40. His dad and his grandpa both died before they were 40. And so he just partied and lived it up. And he found out the seriousness of death through the witness of his second baseman, Bobby Richardson. And Bobby Richardson, the reason I'm interested in this track is because we were going through Dallas, Texas on a flight. We got back from our overseas ministry, and we didn't have time to drive. We had to be there. We got back on Thursday. We had to be there on Saturday. And so we flew out to Dallas, Texas, and I called a track man, Sumner Wimp. He is a dear friend of ours. He wrote a lot of tracks, and he's with the Lord now. And he said, now listen, I know you got to catch a plane, but listen to what I've got to tell you. I said, I'm ready to listen right now. He said, Bobby Richardson called me. We were friends up in Lynchburg, where Bobby Richardson was coaching the baseball team. And he said, Bobby Richardson's coming down. He called me and said, can my wife and I stay with you and Celeste? He said, Mantle's in the hospital there in Dallas, and we want to come and see him. And he walked in the room, and he said, Bobby, I'm glad to see you. Mantle said, I've received Christ as my Savior. And 2 days later, he died, and Richardson told all of those bigwigs. I mean, Steinbrenner and all the bigwigs, and Musil was there, and Yogi Berra, and all those guys that were alive at that time. And he said, there's not a hope so, you got to know you're going to heaven. Things like that, that people know about, can reach them when they don't know us. We need to be used of the Lord. Everybody that's a member of this church ought to have somebody in mind that you're after to get under the sound of the gospel right here on Sunday morning. You ought to. I think it would please God. I know it's His will, because He's not willing that any should perish and all should come to repentance. But you know, we're just satisfied. We get up, get there. Hurry up, let's get out of here. We're going to be late. Come through. Hello, Pastor. How are you this morning? Oh, we sit down and think about what we're going to do Sunday afternoon while the preacher's just preaching away. You know, he's boring. Yeah, I've heard it before. What are we going to do this? Well, I can't wait until we can. You know what I'm talking about? I think you do. Now, whose responsibility is it? To hear? We're to hear the word. We're to receive the word. We're to do the word. We're to practice the word. And we're to share the word. And we're to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't pray. We don't have time for the word. We don't witness. We don't have spiritual desire, no interest. More time for the world than the word of God. We begin to compare ourselves with others. Look in Luke chapter 18. Compare ourselves with others. What does that mean? Luke chapter 18. Start with verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a Republican. Republicans better start praying for a change. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. This Pharisee, there was no one good enough to stand along this dude. He prayed by himself. If you don't believe he was a good man, at least what he thought about himself, look what he prayed. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. These other men are extortioners. They're unjust. They're adulterers, or even as this publican. I'm not like him. I'm not like this publican over here. Because I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, these are the words of Jesus. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. That pretty well nails it, doesn't it? It almost makes me uncomfortable to read that. I feel I've done so little. Here we are in this day. And revival is needed when we boast we have everything and we need nothing. I'm satisfied. But that's not the question. As I think of Calvary, is my Savior satisfied with me? It's not whether I'm satisfied or not. Is the Lord satisfied with me? So the Bible is teaching us very clearly. We boast of needing nothing. Turn to Revelation 3. That's not a good thing to boast of. You know, when you don't come to church, well, you know, we went this morning, and I don't know. We don't need to go back tonight. There won't be many people there anyway. And so I just, what you're saying, I don't need it. And that's boasting. You say, well, I didn't show up. I'm not boasting. If you stay away, you're boasting. Do we really want revival? Do we really want God's power? Do we really crave His blessing? When you boast of needing nothing, Revelation 3:7. Look at this church. The angel of the church, Philadelphia, right? Now, the angel is the pastor of the church. So from now on, just refer to your pastor as Angel Weigel. It's all right. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And the angel of the church in Philadelphia, right? These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, and do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Verse 12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of God, and he shall go in no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him a new name. Now I know thy works. And now here's Laodicean, and thou sayest in verse 17, I am rich, I am increased with goods, and have need of nothing. This is a church. This is a church. And they left even God out. They didn't need any. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? And I counsel thee to buy of gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich. And that's with the word and the power of God upon your life. With white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. The Lord's trying to get in this church that he's speaking of here, and he's knocking at the door, and he can't get anybody to open the door of the church. They got the Lord shut out. And when you compare that with many churches today and many Christian hearts today, comparing themselves with others, boast of needing nothing. And then when you begin to forsake your convictions, revival is needed. Demons has forsaken me, having loved this present world. You know there are people that will give up a church service to go to a movie house and call themselves Christians because they're showing some kind of a passion picture of Jesus. They think that's a spiritual exercise to do something like that. And they go watch a bunch of unsaved people be hypocrites and act out something that they've never experienced before, and people just flock in there. Oh, there's going to be millions turned to God because of that passion thing. Well, scripturally speaking, there's only one way that people can be saved, and that's through the Word of God. The Bible teaches us when we begin to forsake our convictions, when we start tolerating sin, when we cover sin, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. The Bible teaches us when spiritual deadness sets in, revival is needed. Revival is needed. You'd be surprised if I were an artist, and I believe I'd be right on target with this. I'd paint a picture of people sitting in the church. And you know these little thought bubbles that come up above their head? You know what I'm talking about? These little arrows and little bubble up here, and they got some thoughts in there.
I'd paint a picture of the congregation. It wouldn't be everybody, but I'd pick out certain ones in my picture, you know. And I'd put a little bubble above the head, and this guy'd be in a boat. And then I'd pick up I'd paint another picture, and this guy's been watching the wrestling match. You know, he doesn't hear anything the preacher's saying. And then I look at the next picture, and this guy's over here preparing the picnic table. He can't wait until the service is over to get out of that building. And he's got his whole day planned, including the evening. And he's sitting back there just happy as a lark. As soon as this service is getting over, I'm going to get on my shorts, and we're going to go swimming. We're going for a boat ride. We're getting out of here. We've already paid our dues to the Lord, and so we're going. And the truth of the matter is, that's the truth. The world has yet to see what people dedicated to the Lord can really do. Revive me, Lord Jesus. Revive me, I pray. We were in Florence, Belgium years ago, and I was with a BIMI missionary named John DeRush, who went over. He started a church over there. He was having a lot of people saved. We had people saved every night and baptized every night in that meeting. And there were some French people over there that were attending the church, and they invited us out of the house. They had about three or four generations in this house. And they invited us out for tea, and tea wasn't bad. The crumpets were terrible. Those things are just not good to eat at all. But anyway, we were there, and so this older man was sitting over here, and I said to John, who understood French, he was the missionary, he had been to Belgium, and he learned French so he could go to the mission field. And I said to John, I want to talk to Opa over here, and can you help me? Will you translate for me? And he said, sure, I'll be glad. And so I spoke to him and asked what his name was, and John told him, and he answered back, and John told me what he said. And so we just had a conversation back and forth with things like that. And I thought, well, what can I ask him? John, ask him if he knows anything much about World War II. And when John asked him that, that old man lit up like a Christmas tree. He was a teenager during World War II. And through translating back and forth, he told that when the Germans would come, he would go stay with his aunt and uncle in another village away. He would tell of seeing truckloads of our soldiers go past the road in the German trucks with guards, and he would tell about the empty trucks that came back, and there was no prison down the road. He told about seeing paratroopers coming down and dropping in their harnesses to death as they came down. I said, John, ask him the most interesting experience he had during the war. And this is what he said. He said, we knew the Germans were coming. We had known it about an hour before they got there through word of mouth. It passed right to us. They're coming this way. And he said, my brother and I would always go to our aunt and uncles, and grandma and grandpa lived about, I think he said, 18 kilometers away. I think it was something like that. And so he said, we would go, about 12 miles away, something like that. And so he said, we'd walk over there. And he said, we left and came back home and said, after we left, two Germans came in to where they were in this settlement. They lined everybody, 20-some, I think, in this little village up against the wall. And they pulled up their guns to shoot them down. And he said, just as they got ready to shoot them down, he said, two of your men in one of those little motorcycles with a sidecar on it came down. Now, he's saying all of this in French, and it's being interpreted to me by John. And he said, they came down the hill. They were always taught to turn the engine off, because if there was an enemy at the bottom of the hill, they'd hear the engine running, and they could be prepared and get a drop on them before they even knew what happened. So they'd turn their engine off, and they were coasting down the hill. And just as those two Germans picked up their guns and aimed them at my relatives and all of those in that village of about 18, he said, these two American soldiers saw what was happening, picked up their guns and shot those two Germans before they could pull the trigger. I said, John, just tell him that I can imagine one or two of those people, real saints of God, up against that wall, said, Lord, we're saved. We know what's going to happen. If we do die now, we'll be in your presence. But Lord, if there's any way you can stop the bullets, please. And that old man stood up and he said, one pray, two pray. No. Everybody was praying. That's what it takes, really. That's what it really takes. Revival is something that is very precious. It's something that's promised. It's something God will prove and provide if we'll persevere. And so, it's there. If there was a big basket of fruit that was free for the taking, every one of us go by and say, oh, thank you. We'd take it. But when salvation is free, I got to think this over. When complete adherence to the Word of God is free, well, I don't have time for that right now. I've got other things that occupy my... There's got other things I got to do, and I don't have time really for prayer right now, so... And then we wonder why we're not experiencing real revival. It's not that it's not happening in certain places. It's just that those places where it's happening, it's coming about by my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. That's when it's coming. Dear Heavenly Father, speak to us tonight. We pray for these days, important days. And Lord, we pray that the Spirit of God will take hold of each one of us individually and help us, Lord, to put Thee first in our lives. Help us to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be a shame if our next door neighbors went to hell because we didn't talk to them? Help us, Lord, to do Thy will under all circumstances. So move upon us. We pray that the Spirit of God will prevail in every home of every Christian and every member of Open Door Baptist Church, according to Your blessed will. Thank Thee now for speaking to our hearts through Thy Word, and we pray, Lord, for this week. Do something to every heart, every one of us, Lord, we pray, that this will be a special week of memory because of Thy presence in this place. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.